Monday. Open wide dev fans.
Get ready
to stuff your face with JavaScript, CSS, node modules, barbecue tips, Git workflows, breakdancing, soft skills, web development. The hastiest, the craziest, the tastiest web development treats. Coming in hot, here is Wes, Barracuda, Boss, and Scott, El Toro Loco, Tolinsky.
Welcome to Syntax in this Monday Hasty Treat. We are kicking off season 1.5 here. We're not quite at season 2 yet. We are going to be talking all about home offices and building an office in your backyard. Now, I've seen quite a few people do this lately. There's been a lot of cool home offices popping up ever since this whole pandemic started. You've seen all sorts of neat stuff. Now, we have a nice little shed in our backyard that could be turned into one, but it is a complicated and complex situation. So as somebody who's built their own home office in their backyard, we have on the show our very own Wes Boss. How's it going, Wes?
Hey, good. Yeah, it's kind of something cool because I set off about 6 months ago at the beginning of this pandemic. We went up to our cottage and I didn't have like a good spot to work. And I had always thought about turning one of these sheds into an office. And I did that. And I'm going to talk about that today. And then I also, just by posting stuff on Twitter, I've got, I don't know, probably 7 or 8 different people send me photos of their own setups of what they've been working on. If you have like photos of your backyard office, tweet us at SyntaxFM. So I'd love to share photos of other people's setups. I have one link right here to Brad Westfall on Twitter. He just built the most beautiful one in his backyard. And there's a palm tree over it. So we're just going to kind of go through like the steps and what you need to know about and think about before you go ahead and build one of these. Cause like, it looks like a lot of people are going to be going remote full time. And if that's the case and you need some sort of good setup, if you aren't as lucky to have a room in your house for that, then this is a good option. If you have something in your backyard or you have some space you can build.
Yeah. So just like we want to see your home setups, I want to see all of my errors and exceptions handling in real time with the video scrubble replay and my Redux store. And let's see what else, my error tab, my network tab and all that. And that's why I like to use LogRocket. Now, LogRocket is a error and exception handling and bug finding service, I guess you could call it, that allows you to see the bugs and errors happen in a real-time scrubbable video. As I just mentioned, it is really something cool. And for those of you who have just been pawing your way through text errors and log messages and whatever, just to find out what happened when somebody did something or how the heck did that user do this thing? Well, now you can see exactly how this user did that thing by seeing it in a scrubbable video replay. So head on over to logrocket.com/syntax and you will get 14 days for free. It's one of those services that you need to see to believe. All right, let's get into this, Wes. Let's get into the whole shed office, shed chic.
Shed chic, yes. I just thought of another one is Brad Frost converted a shed in his backyard to like the ultimate jam space, workspace. Really cool. If you go to his blog or just Google Brad Frost office, it's really awesome. So let's talk about structure first. So if you want to build something in your backyard, you need something to put your office in. And for a lot of people, there is probably some sort of existing shed where you're putting the wheelbarrow in. And that's what I did is we had this shed in our backyard, which was 10 by 12. That's feet for all y'all. That's not in meters. That would be a very big office if it was in meters. And we weren't really using it for much, just storing rakes and stuff in here. So I decided to go ahead with that and convert it over. Things you sort of need to look at is like, is it sound? So it's not worth putting a bunch of money into something that will fall over or is maybe rotten or is sort of sitting in the dirt. You got to make sure it's like not going to be sitting in the dirt. Otherwise that will go rotten. Other people said that they're getting quotes to just build something by themselves. Sort of the hard part about that is if you want to erect some sort of shed or some sort of building on your property, there's likely some bylaws in your area that will not allow you to do that. Because if you have something existing, that's usually grandfathered in. But if you don't have something that's existing, usually the rules are like it has to be 5 feet from all fences, mm-hmm. which is really hard for most people's backyards, or can't go above a certain height, which is not a whole thing, or bringing electrical to that is really tough. So before you get too excited about it, definitely look up any building code that is in your area to make sure that you can do that.
We quite a bit looked into some additions. We have like a one car garage that we're using as a gym in our backyard. And we've looked into what that would take to convert it into an existing structure. And dang, so like every contractor we reached out to said like, hey, can we make this bigger? Can we turn this into this? They'd just say, we can't even touch it in those ways. You know, you could drywall it, whatever. You can't add on to it. You can't do anything like that. Otherwise, it's against zoning. So we had plans to turn that what is now the gym into my office, and it just could not work out because of zoning, man. Zoning kill ya.
Yeah, I have a bunch of friends that are in Toronto, and Toronto's super expensive. So a lot of people don't have room for a bigger house, and a lot of people are doing this in the backyard. And I've talked to a few people that got, I think they're called variances. I don't know a whole lot about this, but you can apply for sort of like, oh, but can I be the exception? And that is sometimes approved. Mm. So that is an option in some cases, but then you have to like, I think you got to post one of those big billboards and have a meeting where your neighbors can come and things like that. I don't think it's super easy.
Yeah.
Also popular are just these like drop-in offices. So almost like a tiny little shipping container. There's lots of companies out there that will drop these like matte black, really sleek little boxes in your backyard that have like a big door, glass door built into them. And you just pop those in, which is pretty cool. And then the last thing, which I think is probably like the most affordable, depending on where you live, is that at Costco, they have these like huge Rubbermaid sheds that you can just put together yourself. If you were to like I don't know, pour a little concrete pad and slap one of those on that, that would actually make for a pretty affordable structure to start off of, because I think they're only like $1,000 or something like that to get up and running. And they were pretty big when I saw them at Costco. Once you have your structure, I got to think about electrical. So that's something that I had to do, is likely there is no electrical being run to your office. So you have to get, I had to get permits for that. And then you also have to pay an electrician to run electrical. And that can greatly vary depending on how far you need to go. For me, in order to get electrical run, it had to be buried and then it brought in and all the outlets and everything like that. I think it was about $2,000 for me to get it all wired up, which was much more than I was expecting. Mm. But I don't really know much about how much plugs cost. So after electrical, you think about insulation. So these little office was, luckily it was already watertight, and it was just re-roofed a couple of years ago. So I didn't have to worry about any of that, but I did have to worry about insulation because where I am, it gets very, very cold and very, very hot. And I've been here for both. And a way to sort of combat both of those is to insulate it. So I ended up getting the entire thing spray foamed, which is just someone comes. Apparently in Europe, they don't have this. People have been were asking me, like, what is that? It's just somebody comes with a gun and sprays this foam on all of the joists and all of the beams and everything like that. And then it expands and sort of seals up the entire thing. By doing that, I didn't have to have any sort of external venting because it was 100% sealed. If you use that like batting insulation, then you do need to have some sort of venting. Otherwise, you can have issues with moisture and mold and things like that.
Yeah.
What else? Heating. So how to heat it was a big one. So I got a 1500 watt little oil heater. And there's all kinds of different heaters out there, but at the end of the day, they're all exactly the same in terms of efficiency. There's a really good article on, or not a really good YouTube video from Technology Connections on space heaters and how they all work exactly the same because they're all taking electricity and converting them to heat at the end of the day.
That was so good. It was so good.
There's no tricks and there's no efficiencies to be gained in doing that, which I thought was really cool.
That video was so good. And we watched another Technology Connections video last night while we were eating dinner. And Courtney hasn't seen, she's seen him before, but hasn't. And she was just like, what does this guy do for a living. And I was like, oh, this is what he does. He makes these really awesome videos. He explains
the color brown.
That's the one we watched. It was like the color brown and LEDs.
Yes.
And it was so good. It was so fascinating. I mean, I absolutely love this channel anyways, but like, man, yeah, that is some seriously good content. The one on space heaters and on the one on portable AC units, both fantastic episodes, especially in the context of this.
And the one on how those tape deck to auxiliary things work fascinating.
Tape deck to auxiliary.
Oh, man. You remember when you got your first car and you wanted to plug your iPod in or your Discman?
Yeah.
You had to get that like tape deck with the cord.
Yeah. There's like a fake tape. I always felt bad for the tape player when I put that thing in. I'm like, you know, this is fake. We all know this is fake. But getting my music out of here.
Oh, that was good. Yeah. Anyways, that's an awesome one. So some sort of space heater. That one was more than enough for my space. It did take a couple hours to actually heat up. But it did. So what I ended up doing is I put it on a Wi-Fi plug and turned it on at like 5 a.m. And by the time I started working or 6 a.m. And by the time I started working at 9 a.m., it was like super toasty. And I would turn it off at about 12:30. And this was like when it was snowing and it would stay warm the entire rest of the day. So the insulation was doing its job and retaining that heat that I was used. A lot of people gave me hack for putting it on a Wi-Fi plug, but it was a 1500 watt heater and they're rated at 1.8 watts, I think, those plugs. So I did my homework, don't worry. What else? Cooling. So then like Canada, if people are like, what? Weren't you just heating that thing like 2 weeks ago and now you're looking into air conditioners? So when I wanted to get an air conditioner, it was the pandemic and everybody was buying air conditioners. So I got one of the last portable ACs that I could find. And that was like a 1300 BTU portable higher. And it works great. It cools it down super fast. But there's a problem with it in that it's super loud in that I can't record when it's on. I also had a ceiling fan put in as well. And I can't record with the ceiling fan on either because the air buffets against the mic and you can hear it. So even right now, I'm just like, super hot because I can't turn any of those on.
Yeah, that is the problem with recording.
Yeah, it's frustrating. So luckily, one thing happened with the air conditioning is it showed up with a tiny little clip that holds the air intake hose on, and that clip was broken. So I contacted them and I said, hey, can you send me another clip? I'll fix it. And they're like, okay, let me check. And they're like, no, there's no parts available for this. So we're just going to give you your money back.
Huh.
And I was like, okay. And I could keep it. They're like, yeah, we don't want you to ship it back. It's broken. I was like, well, okay. Like, I guess so. And I bet if I open it up, I'll find the broken clip and I could just glue it back on. So they let me keep it and it was $600. So, wow. I thought, okay, well, I'm going to go a step further and I'm going to get one of these things called a mini split. And a mini split is where you put the compressor unit outside, like a tiny little air conditioner. And then there's a hose and then there's an indoor unit that goes above like a door. It's like 1 foot high by like 3 feet wide. It's great. And I haven't used it. I'll tell you why, but I installed it in the office. And then I had, unfortunately, the only one that was available was a 240 unit, which in North America, we run on like 115, 110 120. Yeah. So I couldn't power it. And I was a dummy because I just paid an electrician to wire this whole thing up and I didn't have the foresight to run 240.
The beefy power.
We could run it, but we had to install an extra circuit breaker. And then like all the walls were already finished and everything like that. So we had to run it outside and then dig again, which kind of sucked, but he came in and did that. And then I was about to hook it up myself, but it turns out you need a special vacuum pump to release the gases into the unit. And I don't have that. And I couldn't find anybody to do it. And I ended up just saying, you know what? I'll wait till next year. I still got this broken one. And even further, the first one showed up broken again. It had like a big dent in the side. And one of the valves where you hook it up was dented. And I took a picture and sent it to Wayfair and said, hey, this is broken. Can I return it? And they said, sure, we'll send you another one and then don't return the other one. So now I have three air conditionings and I paid for one. And I don't know if the one that is dented is broken or not. I'm going to have to test it. You're not allowed to sell it because they make you sign something, but it's kind of funny that I have all these air conditionings now.
That is very lucky in an awesome way.
That's the kind of stuff always happens to me. So my wife is like, of course that happens.
Meanwhile,
to you buy one air conditioner.
Meanwhile, my CalDigit just died and they're just like, yeah, you'll have to pay us to get a new one. Yeah.
Really?
Ship it back. Yeah.
Really?
I tried sweet talking him. No. I was trying to do a little talking to see if I could at least get them to cover the cost to ship it. And
he was like,
if our standards or if our process does not work for you, I'm just going to cancel the RMA. I'm canceling it. And I was just like, I had to be like, wait. Like he made me like apologize essentially for asking for them to pay for the shipping.
Oh, CalDigit. I have such a high thought of
I know
them.
Me too.
That's a bummer.
I was really upset. I definitely upset about it. I'm looking for alternatives now just because it's like, do I want to? Yeah, sure. I'll have them fix the one to ship it back. But like, I don't know. Let me go with somebody else.
Inside, I ended up paneling the whole thing with pine wood,
which gives
a very rustic cottagey feel. Yeah, it's nice. And then I put a lot of people told me to do this luxury vinyl plank, which is just a fancy word for vinyl that Scott spins on when he does his break
dancing.
What
I went and bought. I went to Home Depot and I said, give me a giant roll of linoleum. And yeah, that's my linoleum looks like a floor. Yeah.
So this came in like in planks that you install like hardwood.
Oh,
but it's nice. Awesome. It's like really floppy. So it all sits down really nice. And it's been super nice. And then what else? Wi-Fi. I ended up, people told me to like trench for running like Ethernet or running fiber. But I didn't feel like doing that because it was so much work, especially how rocky it is here. So I just used a Ubiquiti outdoor access point and mounted that somewhere between the house and here. And that gives us actually really good Wi-Fi in the entire property, which is awesome. And I believe that is it. So all in, people always ask me like, how much does something like that cost? Given that we had the most expensive part, which was the shed, it was about $4,000 to get it wired up, do all the flooring, all the paneling, and air conditioning. Oh, that mini split also heats. I should tell you, it's a heat pump, which does the opposite of air conditioning, but it just sprays the hot air into the room instead of outside the room. I can get rid of my little space heater now because the mini split will also heat it in the winter, which is pretty cool. So about $4,000 Canadian, which is, that's $3,000 US. And how many in euros? 2.56 euro. So 2,500 euros to do something like this. So like not cheap, but definitely if you're going to be like working from home full time, especially I know some companies give like a couple $1,000s to their employees for something like a chair or whatever. So definitely have enjoyed building this thing and having my own space in my backyard. And now I wish that my place at home, I could build a backyard office as well.
You know what? Also, if you own a business, the business can pay for a portion of that. So both the construction and, you know, tax, whatever. So just keep that in
mind. Luckily, or unfortunately for me, I can't because it's not our primary residence.
Oh, so primary residence. What interesting.
Yeah, I like even before we bought this place, I was asking my accountant, I was like, could I build something on the property and 100% expense it? And he's like, not really. You can make the argument that you're going to be there 3 months a year. Mm-hmm. And so you could expense 1/3 of it or 1/4 of it. But it's kind of hard to do something, especially when you are increasing the value of your something that you personally own with business funds. It gets a little bit murky. But if it was your primary residence, I think that you probably could definitely check with an accountant.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah. As with anything, check with the accountant or your lawyer. Yeah.
So that is it. If you have your own little backyard office, I'd love to see what you've built. They're such cool little cozy places. And they're different all around the world. The Brad Westfall's one, he's in, I think, Arizona. So he's got like a pool outside, a little
really nice.
Palm tree over
Looked
top.
Really nice.
That looks
unreal. I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
TJ and on that one.
TJ and a hard TJ over here.
Cool. All right, that's it. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we will catch you on Wednesday.
Peace.
Peace.
Head on over to syntax.fm for a full archive of all of our shows. And don't forget to subscribe in your podcast player or drop a review if you like this show.